And now, live from the Eagle Newsroom in Bryan, it's Aggie Nation, covering Aggie football since the first game in 1894 and every game since. Talking all things A&M and all the pro and high school sports you want to hear. Aggie Nation on Sports Radio 1150, The Zone.
Afternoon. Welcome to Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle. Aubrey Bloom, Robert Sestam. We're brought to you by MSC Opus. Check out all the great events coming to the season that dreams are made of at mscopus.org. Lots of great shows and events coming in. Check that out. Again, mscopus.org. You can give us a call, 693-1150, or you can text us, 229-1939. Like we do every Tuesday, we'll kind of give our thoughts, reactions from the A&M press conference. The biggest thing that came out of this season was Kyle Allen admitting he was injured. Now, he said he had an AC sprain, which is in his throwing shoulder, and which is an actual injury. I mean, that's a thing that people get held out for. So there's a couple things here. One, he wasn't hurt so bad that he couldn't play.
He couldn't practice.
Yeah, he told the coaches he was fine. He said he wanted to play, and that he, in fact, I asked him this, and he said he would never take himself out of the game.
Correct.
That, to me, is the problem, because no player is ever going to admit that they're hurt, especially not a player who's got a five-star, All-American, Gatorade National Player of the Year waiting behind him. So it's up to the coaches to sit him out, and they didn't for whatever reason. Again, we don't know the degree of the AC sprain, but to hear Kyle talk about it, I certainly got the impression, and here's what I told Sam, and Sam's going to join us here a little bit afterwards. If this was any other team, and if this was any other situation, and you had a starter who played five games and was pretty good, and then all of a sudden had a horrible game and was benched, and then didn't play at all for 3 weeks, and then all of a sudden came back and was the starter, you'd say they were hurt, right? I mean, that's what it would normally look like. And I don't think he was so hurt that he couldn't practice or play, but I think sitting out those couple weeks, I know he still practiced, but it's not the same. He didn't take live hits. They don't take hits in practice. Mm-hmm. The quarterbacks don't. Mm-hmm. That he came back and now he's healthy. He said he's 100% now. He looked fine on Saturday.
Well, I wouldn't go that far on any of those. I mean, first of all, backtracking, he could have thrown two interceptions if Vanderbilt guys can catch the ball. Sure. That being said, he had a good game. He threw the ball where it shouldn't be thrown.
Well, and I don't even know so much mean that
he threw it away.
He had his arm strength back.
He threw the ball where he needed to. He looked like Kyle Allen during the 5-0 start. He threw the ball exactly the way he anticipated. Now, what he said was, and with the way he acted, the number one thing that I have is why he wasn't benched during the Ole Miss game. Because we did not, most of us thought the shoulder injury went back from the Mississippi State game when he was injured, he admitted he was hit hard or whatever. Second half of the Mississippi State game, he didn't throw the ball well. A lot of people pointed to that as that hit he took in Mississippi State near the end of the first half. But the new information was he said, I got hurt at the Alabama game. So now, you know, things make a little more sense because he was atrocious at Mississippi from the start. Now, gone back to what the coaches say. We do everything on practice, whatever. So even though his shoulder was hurt in practice leading up to Ole Miss, he was good enough to beat out Kyler Murray and beat out Jake Hubenak. Now, there's also an asterisk because Kyler Murray wasn't going to play because he had been suspended, which we didn't know at that point. So we're sitting there watching Kyle Allen miss pass after pass, look absolutely brutal against Mississippi. Why don't you bench this guy? Where's Kyler Murray? And, of course, everybody figures something's wrong with Kyler Murray because why is he coming in? And Jake Hubenak comes in. And then fast forward to now. Now, what's you piece all this together is I asked him, what did you do differently this week than the previous 2 weeks? Absolutely nothing. He said, I was the same this week as I was in practice the week I was before. Obviously, that's not true, but being a player, you say that. So he thought the practices for West Carolina, the practices for Auburn, was the same as the practices for Vanderbilt. Now, you do have to read through the tea leaves. I mean, he had to be a lot better, because if he's throwing the ball like that the previous 3 weeks, how can he not be the starting quarterback?
Here's why I think the coaches have a loophole, because there's people on Twitter jumping on this and saying the coaches lied about Kyle Allen. They haven't, technically, because what they said was it's based on practice.
Correct.
And if Allen was a little bit banged up and they wanted to rest his arm, they could limit his reps in practice.
Correct.
Therefore, by limiting his reps in practice, it's still based on practice.
Be the third string quarterback real quick in practice, which we're not there.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying.
So you get 20 throws.
So it is based on practice.
It's based on practice.
But that's what you've done in the practice. The thing to me, like I said, the only thing that this does for me is just verify what we all knew, and that's that Kyle Allen wasn't himself.
Was hurt
for a couple games.
Was hurt.
And that's not to excuse his performance. He was absolutely dreadful, and I think he could have thrown left-handed and done better against Ole Miss. But the thing, he was clearly not himself. And that's not to say that A&M would have won had he been. I think certainly he was himself against Arizona State, and he wasn't very good. He had a couple turnovers in that game, and he wasn't good until the fourth quarter. But it at least gives a little bit of a reason. It wasn't all mental. Some of it certainly was, but it wasn't just all in his head in those two games, which is why you go back to him. You know, now that he's healthy, you go back to him and see what he's got against Vanderbilt,
well,
and now see what he's got against LSU.
I'll throw one thing in there, being old school, and that's why we do radio, old school, new school. I always wonder how much people want to see how they can perform in pain, because Brett Favre probably had games where he threw for 80% and his arm was hanging. I mean, I'm not going to use that, but I'm not the coach. I'm not out there watching Allen enough. How serious was it? I don't know. I don't know what a sprained MC, whatever it was.
AC sprain.
Some people, maybe you never know you have it. And I'm not saying, and I want to make it clear, I don't know. I'm just throwing these things out there because, and I remarked one last time he came in, I saw he'd kind of all gashes on his legs and arms. It's healed over. When you're a quarterback, you're going to take hits. You're going to have to play through pain, and I'm sure he's had a lot of pain. I don't know what – everybody has different tolerance of pain. My wife says I have a horrible tolerance of pain. She doesn't want to be around me when I'm sick. Everybody's different. So you're right. Coaches, people are jumping on in social media, and media, we're jumping on it. The problem always is when we're in a situation, we just don't know the whole story. It'd be nice if you could talk to a trainer, if I could talk to J.P. Bramall, the orthopedic, and said, okay, what does this mean? Does this mean he was throwing at 96%? Was he throwing at 76%? Because that's a wide range. Because a lot of times, it doesn't happen in college, but if you get to know high schools, whatever, sometimes you get close to coaches, they'll tell you, hey, the orthopedic said, hey, he should be throwing it at 96%. I'm putting him out there. I mean, you know, it's like he's just a wimp. And I'm not saying that because we don't know. That's what I'm putting out there is we know he was hurt. Okay, we know he didn't start for three games. Now he's back. He looks like the Cal Allen of old, you know, the first five games.
Yeah.
Now you want to read the tea leaves, but you know, and then I'm sitting, while this is going on, I'm sure you are, the coaches put him out there. They let him come in. The coaches knew exactly what he was going to say because Cal Allen answers all the questions. So it's just an interesting dynamics that at no point during these last 3 weeks when he didn't start, Kevin Sumlin or Jake Spavadon, hey, here's the deal. He was 85%, or he was 95%, or he was 75%, but he was our best option. They've never said that. And you do have to ask the question, whether you're a writer or whether you're a fan, why didn't they mention that?
Here's my...
I'm just saying you've got to read into it.
Well, here's my answer to that, is they wanted to at least make it seem... And they probably really did, but it's at least ostensibly, if not actually, to give Kyler Murray
that he won the job
a chance. Yeah, that he won the job. And
I could live with that.
I will. I don't know that I believe that.
I'm saying I could live with that.
Yeah, and I think that's why they did it, to give Kyler a chance. And one, you want Kyler to think he's won the job too. This might not just be, you know, cloak and dagger behind the scenes. This might be stuff they're trying to do for the players also. You want Kyler to think he's won that job. You don't want him thinking,
keep pushing.
Well, and you don't want him thinking, all right, well, this is just my job until Kyle's healthy again. You want him to go out there, and if he does,
I'll go through the motions.
And if he does well, then he really could earn the job. So that's part of this thing too, is Kyler Murray and what you do with him. Because now we hear, what did they say? They said last week that every week the starter is based on practice. Well, that's clearly not true, because now they just said Kyle is starting this week.
But they didn't do it every week, because going into the, after Kyler
Murray
had the good game, he was named starter.
Right.
So we've had twice now in the last 4 weeks.
Sometimes it's open during the week.
Exactly.
Sometimes it's not open during the week.
Because that left. Last week he said it's open every week. And I go, wait a minute. No, it wasn't open for the Auburn week. Because
And here's
you said,
the weird thing. You asked this question, and I can't believe Jake Spavadal actually answered it.
I know.
You asked who the backup was on Saturday, and he said Jake Kubenak.
I thought I might catch him off guard, and I did, because he was answering all those questions. And you could see, like, but you know why he answered that? Because Jake Kubenak did take the second team snaps in team practice, and if you know they, and he answered the question, and then you have to laugh and you go, well, why didn't they answer the question before about Cal Allen being hurt?
Well, this is getting second level conspiracy theory here, but I thought Kyler was hurt on Saturday. I mentioned during the game that I was watching him on the sidelines and his helmet was nowhere to be found.
Well,
he was just walking along with the offense
based on practice.
Yeah, and so I didn't know if maybe he was going to play or not. And like you said, Jake Spavadal said that had something happened to Allen, it was going to be Kubenak. So you don't go from 1 to 3 and then back
that
to
quick.
1. Either that or Jake Kubenak must just be the greatest backup
hey,
of all
deal.
Time.
It's great for talk radio, because they keep you guessing. They keep you
Any
guessing.
Conspiracy theory might be right on what they're doing over there.
Well, I'm just saying is, see how you can read the tea leaves a lot of ways. And like you and I talked, and I know you said Sam will be in. Sam said right away, he goes, wouldn't it, Kevin Sumlin, say I come in here every week and I tell the truth and whatever? And I've been through this with Bill Byrne, whatever. You got to be careful, because we all do a great job of massaging the truth. When you say, like, how do you like working with Aubrey? It's fine. You know, or something. You know, it's like, you know, and it's suddenly it's like people do not lie, but we have a great way of stretching things to tell the truth.
Yeah, and I just thought it was interesting today.
It was.
That Kubenak, I don't understand why he even admitted that. What benefit does that serve anybody?
Well, Jake, because here's the deal. They probably told Jake Kubenak he was number two for that week.
Well, I'm sure they did.
So the word's out there. You can't come back and have that come back to bite you in the butt.
I just would have said something how it would have depended on the situation, and you know.
No, I think see, that was public knowledge on the team, so you got to go outside and say that.
Well, there you go. So I guess we'll see who the backup is, maybe against LSU. All we know is that after 2 months, two open competitions, possibly an injury, a midseason roller coaster ride, we've got to game 12. Kyle Allen is the starter.
And Kyle Allen, it's never dull when he's around press conference day, is he, when he comes in answering questions?
No, and he's ready to go, too. He doesn't shy away from anything.
He doesn't shy away from the questions.
All right, let us know. What do you want to talk about? 229-1939. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll have Lori Corbelli with us. Sam Connell will join us later. We'll talk about A&M, LSU, Leonard Fournette, the college football rankings, a little bit of everything. And then the high school report, we're going to have a check-in from New York City. From all the way up in New York. Should be a fun time on the high school report here later on as well. So hit us up, 229-1929. We'll be back. It's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
It's the best time of year to buy from the best farm and tractor retailer in the Brazos Valley, Norman G. Tractor. Get zero down payment, 0% financing, top dollar for your trade-in, and free delivery. Get the Kubota L2501F 25-horsepower two-wheel drive tractor with a 5-foot Land Pride shredder and a 5-foot Land Pride box blade with teeth. And $2,250 in rebates for only $11,245 or $160 per month. Want your tractor to do even more? Well, try the Kubota L2501 HST 25-horsepower tractor with four-wheel drive, Kubota front-end loader, 5-foot Land Pride shredder, and box blade with teeth. Get $2,250 in rebates. Pay only $18,145 or $231 per month. Why buy used when you can buy new with payments as low as these? That's why Normandy Tractor is known as the place to shop for all of your tractor, utility vehicle, and lawn equipment needs. Shop online at normandytractor.com, corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Normandy. And remember, nobody beats Normandy Tractor. Nobody.
For well over 10 years, Intercon has been telling consumers that vinyl windows are the best option for this climate. Now, there are a number of vendors offering a vinyl solution, but don't be misled. All vinyl windows are not the same. Changing in the windows in your home is a major investment that you only want to do once. Ask to see a sample window and use your common sense. Does the window look and feel solid and substantial? Look at how the window operates. Does it have a continuous balance system or a cheap setup with pulleys and strings? Ask about the U factor and solar heat gain coefficient, which are standard energy performance metrics. Finally, ask about who will be installing the window and who will be standing behind the warranty. At Intercon, we use the Burris TechView line of windows made to our size specifications installed by Intercon full-time employees. We stand behind our products with industry-leading limited lifetime warranties. Trust your neighbors at Intercon with all of your window needs.
Whether you have new construction or an existing home, let the fine folks from Intercon help your home energy efficiency year-round. Call Brad Beard of Intercon today at 823-3639. That's 823-3639.
Toyota-thon, Toyota-thon rocks with great big deals on a new set of wheels. Camry, Prius, RAV4-2 with 0% financing for you.
The holidays are back, and so is Toyotathon. Wrap up a great year-end deal on a reliable Toyota at our biggest event of the year. And every new Toyota comes with a 2 years or 25,000 miles no-cost maintenance plan. Hurry to your Toyota dealer today. Qualified buyers get 0% APR for 72 months plus $500 bonus or $2,500 cash on a new 2015 Camry. Visit gstoffers.com for details. Offers available in select states and end 11/30/15.
Hurry and don't delay. We'll see you here. It all ends January 4th. It's our biggest and bestest event of the year. That's why Toyota-thon rocks.
Toyota, let's go places. Not all customers will qualify. RAV4 and Prius 2015 models only. Toyota Care covers normal factory scheduled service for 2 years or 25,000 miles, whichever comes first. See your participating dealer for details. Sale ends January 4th.
Your home for Texas A&M women's basketball is Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone, 102.7 FM.
Cynthia!
Welcome back.
Listen to the voices.
Aggie Nation, powered by The Eagle, Aubrey Bloom, Robert Cessna, Cease, that song, Sly and the Family Stone.
Great one.
Cynthia Robinson, trumpeter and backup vocalist, passed away yesterday.
Oh,
age
sorry to hear that.
69. There you go. Rob wanted to send a shout out to that. So there you go. That was that one. All right, we are joined every Tuesday by... I don't even think we're worthy. She's going to start big leaguing us here pretty soon. by A&M volleyball coach Lori Corvelli. And we were driving back, a long drive Sunday for us, Lori, and we looked down at the phone and we're following along. And I said, yeah, they're down two sets to Florida. And we checked back a little bit later. All of a sudden, it was two sets to one. Then it was two sets to two. And then you guys had pulled this thing off. When you were down two sets, when the second set was over, mm-hmm. What was the conversation like in the huddle in between sets there?
Yeah. You know, I honestly wasn't worried at all. I mean, obviously being down two sets, but the third set is so critical, and we have emphasized that all season. When we get to a third set, whether we're up 2-0 or down 2-0 or split even, how it really doesn't mean very much because you still have to win 2 out of 3. And if you look at it that way and you realize that you still have time, and there's so many comebacks in sports history that coaches have in the back of their minds that can, you know, relay a few here and there or even of your own team, that we were seeing our offense start to come together better and better as those two sets went on, even though we lost. And they just bought into it. You know, we really were getting better. We showed them some numbers and fixed a few things, adjusted a few things, and they just, when we left the locker room, they were screaming like, we're doing this, and, you know, just cheering and hollering and ready to go. And so they never once counted themselves out.
You know, a few weeks ago, we would have said that this was going to be your last home game of the season, would have been the Kentucky-Florida series this weekend, would have been your last game at home. That's now no longer necessarily the case. And want to know what kind of your thoughts on where y'all stand right now going into these last two games with Missouri and Arkansas.
Oh, it's a blast to be in this position. Who would have ever thought it was down to Missouri and Texas A&M for the conference title at Missouri? You know, especially after beating them 3-0 at our place, but every single set was a two-point set. So it was as tight as you can possibly play, and we happened to come out on top. And, you know, now we have to be at their place with a very talented team and a great crowd. And we have to – it's an ultimate test for a team like ours that has won 12 straight based on some of the things that, you know, they just keep getting better and better at, not only volleyball-wise, but team-wise. And, you know, sometimes I'll tell people I think volleyball is the ultimate team sport, especially for women's sports, because you're looking, you can see each other's expressions and say things to each other that's, you know, 5 feet away from you, and other people can see it or hear it. And that can either be very building for your team, or it can be very destructive for your team. And it's all has to do with interpersonal stuff and the flow of the match, and people, a lot of people like to blame other people during matches, and you can't get away from that. You can't get away from the danger that can do. So our team doesn't really bother with that stuff. They've been so mature and so respectful of each other, and they only want each other to be better, that they've made a commitment to never drop to that level and just keep their attitudes and their effort at top notch. And I just really have a lot of respect because they do that. And they just don't quit because they know each other. They're supporting each other.
Yeah, I mean, this was, with the win streak going on, you know, 11 matches in a row, and then you're down two sets. It would have been easy to go, all right, we knew this streak was going to end anyway. This is fine. We'll finish this one out, then we'll go win two more, and we'll be okay. But like you said, they didn't. They just kept fighting. And to me, we talked a little bit about this with some football teams that we've seen. Oklahoma State was a good example. They kept coming back from big deficits. But that power of belief, once you've done it once, to know you can do it, makes a big difference with your team, doesn't it?
Oh, it is such an incredible power. And, you know, I think I wish that they would believe it more before they see it happen. But once they started to see it happening, that we were getting better in the beginning of set three, and we were not going away, and we kept saying, we're not going away. This is our home. We will stay here and participate to the fullest in this match. And, you know, it's likely that your opponent many times thinks you're going to go away after being down 0-2. So you just keep having to have that power belief. And when they started to see that our offense was coming together, we had some players start to be a little more involved, and that a player came off the court once with a frown and a frustration, and she was called out immediately. That is not allowed. It is positive thought. It is a positive expression and body language, because it's seen by everyone. And so we just really take a lot of pride in that. And once they saw it happening, they started seeing it, and that helped them believe it.
What's the plan this week? Obviously, the Missouri big game tomorrow, but then are y'all going to do Thanksgiving on the road somewhere? Are y'all going to come back in between this game and Saturday's game at Arkansas? What's the plan for this week?
You know, Aubrey, I'm glad you asked that, because originally we asked, could we come home between these two matches? Because it's Tuesday travel, come home Saturday night. And that's all over Thanksgiving holiday. And it was turned down because it was expensive, et cetera. But we've got such a great deal when we get to charter. So we didn't argue it. We know that we are very fortunate. And so as it got closer and we just had a good routine, I thought, well, let's just see how much more, if anything, it would cost if we changed it now. Because I knew the girls, 15 of them are from Texas. Three of the last four years, we've been out of town on Thanksgiving. So they really haven't gotten to spend it with their families. So I thought, you know, we've got from Wednesday night to Saturday. So we made a proposal, and a very tiny, tiny upcharge to change the flight plans, and so we get to come home after our win tomorrow night, and the girls are going to spend Thanksgiving with family, which will be a wonderful rejuvenation, and, you know, just good for them to get just away for a day, and then we'll reconvene again at the airport Friday and go to Arkansas to play Saturday afternoon.
Well, there you go. Should be a fun week. What's the key for Missouri? Obviously, you've got another game after that, but if you win this one, the SEC crown is there. What's the plan for this one? What have you got to do to finish this thing off?
You know, we have to really we have to be consistent. And, you know, we play some really great rallies, but then sometimes we get into a spot in the game where we will lose a few points in a row. And that starts to come back and haunt us, and we have to just, you know, grovel our way back. And I think if we can just be consistent and keep believing, because Missouri has nothing to lose to come at us at home, you know, with a great crowd. So I just want my team to really be consistent. I want them to have fun. They play better when they're having fun and when they feel good about what they're doing. And so they have to create that. So I just think we aren't going to change a whole lot. We're reminding them how strong they are, how good we are, and that we just have to do what we do, and nothing special. So it's going to be a battle, though. I'm anticipating five sets. I'm anticipating a pretty long, stressful match, for me anyway, and a lot of fun at the end, hopefully.
If you do win this one, you will capture the SEC crown, and if we get you on the show next week, I know you won't want to talk about it because you'll be talking about the NCAA tournament. So I got to ask you now, what would winning the SEC mean to your program, having been in the league only a few years now?
Oh, it would be so awesome. You know, we haven't won a conference title, not in the Big 12. We got second too many times and third and fourth. We did not win a conference title at the Big 12. We have not won an SEC title. We won SEC West. So we've just been this close, you know, so many times that of finally getting a win in this conference. You know, I know it would bring us all to just unbelievable emotion and joy and lots of tears. And just that sense of pride of the investment that all of us put in, and just that great feeling of reward when you get that win and you all did it together and they all, you know, stuck to what they said they were going to do. Those are the best when you don't have drama and you don't have a lot of negativity, but you're able to just appreciate everyone's positive effort and energy. And so anyway, I just think it's huge for recruiting. It's huge for, you know, the continuing on in the tournament this year. It's just huge, and these girls deserve it, and I'm just really hoping that we can make it happen.
Coach, thanks for being with us. We will talk to you again next week, and good luck trying to close this thing out.
Thanks so much. I appreciate it.
There you go, Cease. Always good to talk to Lori Corbelli. Another win for them on over the weekend, and now they'll try to finish it off. Like I said, if they beat Missouri, they won't be able to be caught.
No, it won't
matter what they do against Arkansas. If they can clip the Tigers tomorrow, then that thing will be over. And what a season for them. Just a crazy streak they're on right now.
And I said that when you said it was 2-0, I go, well, it doesn't surprise me. I said Florida's like fourth in RPI. A&M was 14th. I said I knew it would be tough for A&M to beat Florida because Florida, even though they're fourth in the conference, we're trying to prove that they might be the best team in the conference when you look at nationwide this conference going into the tournament. But as you quickly noted, not quickly, about a half hour, 45 minutes, guess what? It's 2-2 now, and A&M came back, and they proved they're a better team right now than Florida. And if they win Tuesday night, they will be by far the best team in the SEC, particularly when you consider how they finished. I mean, you look at the SEC is such long in all sports. We see it in baseball that sometimes the best team at the end of conference is not the team in first place.
Yeah.
We've seen sometimes if a team closes like 9 out of 10, while the top team has only won 7 out of 10 or whatever, the second team might be the hottest team, or even a third team, because SEC is such a big conference.
Yeah.
But when you won 12 in a row,
you're the hottest team.
You're the hottest team.
When you've beaten everyone
and you're
else.
Number one. You're in the first place. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. That's going to do it for that part. We'll come back. Sam will join us. We'll talk football. Hit us up, 229-1939. It's Aggie Nation, powered by the Eagle, here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
From News Talk 1620 WTAW. I'm Chelsea Reber with a news update on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM. Local law enforcement is again reminding vehicle owners to keep valuables out of sight. College Station Police Lieutenant Steve Brock says that's after forced entry was made into three vehicles and guns were taken.
The difference in those vehicles, there's some very subtle stickers and things like that that would suggest that they do own a firearm, and at times they can be targeted because of those subtle support stickers and things of gun rights and gun clubs, things like that.
You're also reminded to hide small things like power cords, which Brock says is a cue for thieves that there may be valuables inside. The College Station City Council is interested in improving traffic safety following recent deaths of two pedestrians and a bicyclist who was struck and hospitalized last weekend. Assistant City Manager and former Police Chief Jeff Capps says it's already been discussed by staff, and the subject also needs to include Texas A&M officials.
It is kind of a different environment when you're on campus. It's kind of, I guess through the years what I've seen, you kind of in a mindset where the pedestrians have the right of way on campus, and then they don't distinguish that once you step off campus. And so we have seen some of those issues.
A&M Student Government Vice President for Municipal Affairs Wayne Beckerman says two senators have filed legislation calling for additional protection along University in Northgate.
I've talked to both these groups of senators who wrote the legislation. They know that the TxDOT, that is a state road. They know that this is a long process. They know that this is not something that will be fixed easily. But we are working very hard to engage the university and make sure that administration is willing to work with us before we bring something to you.
One bill would extend a barrier in the middle of university, and the other calls for lowering the speed limit. For more, go online to WTAW.com. I'm Chelsea Reber on Sports Radio 1150 and The Zone 102.7 FM.
When you think of Texas A&M Athletics on The Zone, think of the businesses sponsoring the games of your favorite team.
Businesses like Pioneer Steel, Coldwell Banker Agtown Realtors, Rudy's Barbecue, and Garland Shelton Imports.
Here's a big gig'em to these sponsors of Texas A&M Athletics. You're listening to the flagship station for Texas A&M Athletics, Sports Radio 1150, and The Zone 102.7 FM.
Join conductor Marcello Busicchi and the Brazos Valley Symphony Brass as they present the joyous sounds of the holiday season Sunday, December 13th at 5 p.m. at Christ United Methodist Church. This Brazos Valley tradition features organist James Faith, the Sanctuary Choir, and Canticle Bells of Christ United Methodist Church and the College Station High School Varsity Women's Choir. Tickets are available at bvso.org or by calling 845-1234. The Brazos Valley Symphony Orchestra, making music come alive.
This Thanksgiving, spend your day giving back to our community. Epicure's Catering will be teaming up with the Brazos Food Bank and Dunkin' Dining Center for the 32nd annual Thanksgiving in the Brazos Valley. Hundreds of local volunteers are needed to lend a hand in preparation and delivery of over 1,000 Thanksgiving meals locally. Donations of food are being accepted at the Brazos Food Bank. Monetary donations for Thanksgiving in the Brazos Valley can be made at any location of the bank and trust. Sponsorship opportunities are also available. Call Epicure's Catering at 695-0985. Thank you for making this Thanksgiving special for your neighbors in the Brazos Valley.
No website gets the listener more informed on their favorite programs and shows than Zone1150.com. Keep up with everything our hosts are doing, their schedules, and their guests by just clicking on the host tab on the website. Kicking yourself for missing out on your favorite show? Well, no problem. Go to the podcast tab and listen to every interview and hot take from every one of our local programs. And check out who, what, when, and where with our event schedule. Stay up to date with anything and everything sports in Aggieland on Zone1150.com.
It was the 3rd of September, that day I'll always remember, yes I will, cause it was the day that my daddy died. I never got a chance to see him.
Welcome back.
Never heard
Aggie Nation, powered by The Eagle. Bobby Bloom, Robert Cessna, hanging out. Getting your text, 229-1939. We are also joined now by ESPN.com's legendary writer, Sam Kahn.
First name, Sam.
Hello, Sam. How are you?
Sam, how are you?
Samwise the Brave.
Last name, Kahn. Sam Khan.
Thank you. Sam, I am.
I want to hear more about Sam.
The roughest, toughest He-Man, stuffest hombre has ever crossed the Rio Grande.
Now, Sam Khan.
He show up and everything's going crazy. Cece's running around the room doing God knows what. you're over here with food and it's just too much. Everything's going on. Okay, we were talking about the press reactions to the press conference. What was your initial reaction to the Kyle Allen sort of admitting the shoulder was a little, it was AC sprain is what he had or whatever? I was surprised he actually gave a description of what he was injured by, but I kind of thought like you were saying, good for him.
You want to know what my reaction was? Duh.
Yeah, that's what we were saying.
Kyle Allen confirmed what we all pretty much assumed, because we're not stupid. Cease, you've covered football for how long?
Long time, 40 years.
Robert, you've covered it for how long?
Oh, including probably about six since I graduated,
I've
basically
covered it for 10. So, but in this room between us three, we've had 56 years of football coverage. How many? Raise your hand if you thought Kyle Allen was hurt when you watched him against the second half against Ole Miss.
Exactly.
Yeah,
We said that on these airwaves. What, last week? I mentioned that. I said I didn't think they were being 100% honest with us, and so Allen just confirmed that. What I will say is that the interesting question it raises for me is, what did he look like in practice between Alabama and Ole Miss? Because he did start the Ole Miss game well. So the question is, was he a little banged up and then he aggravated it against Ole Miss and then that's what led to it? Regardless of how that played out, it's clear that in the second half of Ole Miss he wasn't right. And I think it was a little bit unfair to simply allow everyone to believe that Kyler Murray, nothing against Kyler, because Kyler played really well to beat South Carolina, but it was unfair to allow the public to think that Allen lost his job because he didn't play well, not because injury had something to do with it. And like I said, good for Kyle admitting it. He was being honest, which we appreciate, because that's not necessarily what the coaches have been.
My thing we brought up in the first segment was it might not have necessarily just been for the public. They might have also wanted Kyler to think that he won this job.
That's fair, and I think that that's possible. It's not without the realm of possibility. But, you know, is it fair to do that to the quarterback who is being benched? That is my question. And ultimately what you have to do is what's best for the team. If Kyle Allen told the coaching staff that he was good enough to play, which he said that he did, certainly they're going to trust Allen a little bit on a judgment of whether or not he should. But also it's up to them to make the decision whether or not he needs to sit. So they made the decision that he needed to sit. And yeah, Kyler probably needed some of that confidence. And he gained some of it by not only starting, but by playing the way he did against South Carolina. So maybe there are some mind games at play. I mean, I've never managed a quarterback in my life, so I don't know how delicate that is for a coach to do. But yeah, that's fine if you want to try and boost his confidence. But also, I think you got to be fair to the guy who's getting benched, because he looked bad. He looked bad against Ole Miss.
I think they did it for Kyler. You know, again, this is all they didn't admit
speculation.
It's all speculation. But to me, they you want Kyler, and it's not necessarily all for show. You want Kyler to think that this is his job now, and it's his until he doesn't play well enough to keep it, which was probably the case. And someone texted, if Kyler would have beaten Auburn, do you think Allen starts the Vandy game?
No.
I don't think so.
Nope.
And the answer is no.
No.
I think if Murray goes out there and plays well and takes control of the team, then you're going to leave him out there. He's going to still be your starter.
If Kyler Murray beats Auburn and then he beats Vandy, we're discussing if Kyle Allen's transferring after this.
Right.
Season. Well, and I said the first argument we're here, sometimes I've had the privilege to talk to whatever you talk to, some of the doctors on A&M staff off-season or whatever, typically they will tell the coaches in what percent the guy is, what
right.
he compete. And we don't want to get into that, because they said, hey, Kyle Allen could be 90% with that injury. I mean, we don't want to read into it. So when they say that, and of course, Aubrey and I said, when they said it was based on practice, maybe they only give Kyle Allen 20 snaps heading into the South Carolina game.
Right.
So there's no way with the first thing he's going to be named starter. We don't know enough And as I always like to say, Jackie Sherrill once told me, I'm going to lie to you. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to figure out when it is and what's going on, and that's what we're trying to do.
And that's cool. I understand that's part of the game. But I just don't want to hear any complaining on the back end if we call out someone on it.
I agree.
Because you can't have it both ways. You can't shroud everything in secrecy and then expect everyone to be totally fair because you're not being fair. So it's fine. That's not a big deal. I understand coaches are going to do that because they're trying to protect – their players are protecting their team, and that's their job. That's of the utmost importance. But I also think, I've also had heard, I don't know if anyone ever knew, but I had heard back when Johnny got hurt in his second season that I had heard he had a similar injury. And remember how bad he looked his last two
regular season.
That he had an AC sprain as well.
And then he was time
at least
off.
From people I had talked to, that's what I had heard. Did get that. You know, obviously it was never publicly confirmed what his injury was by the staff or by Johnny himself, but I had heard that he had an AC sprain that, in those last two games of the regular season in 2013. And remember how bad he looked. So clearly, it affects you a little bit.
And then when he had the time off, how good he looked against Duke.
Because
he rested the shoulder.
Yes. And that mattered.
And so, now Allen's been rested.
Like I said, I think we're all smart enough to understand what was going on.
Not all of it, but enough to know he was hurt.
That someone was up.
Yeah.
And so, like I said, it wasn't a shocker. I said in the middle of this scenario, and I wrote it, that I felt like it was fair to ask the question whether or not they mismanaged this whole situation from the jump. And I think it's fair to say that because what is Sumlin's MO always been about quarterbacks? I don't want the guy looking over his shoulder. Well, Kyle Allen looked over his shoulder and maybe felt pressure to play at not 100% because of Kyler Murray breathing down his neck.
We said in the first hour, I'll bring it back, because my number one question I went through all this is why you let him out there in the Ole Miss game and take a beating at the end when he was – why don't you pull him? He missed 20 of the last 22 passes. At some point, you got to pull the guy, but I was amazed they never pulled him in that game.
Until the fourth quarter.
The different conspiracy theory there is that they didn't want everyone to know that Murray was suspended. They were just going to see if they could ride it out.
But that wasn't fair to Allen then either.
And that wasn't not only fair to Allen, it wasn't fair to Hubenak because you've got to give your team at least an outside chance of winning, and it was pretty clear that Allen wasn't going to do that.
Well, and I will say in that case, I think they had some faith in Kyle because Kyle had struggled, say, for instance, against Arizona State for three quarters and then in the fourth quarter turned it up. And so I think part of that, I'm more forgiving on that because I think Sumlin over time has proven, whether it's with his coaching staff or whether it's players, he's loyal to guys who have proven themselves to do well and to do good, to play well, to coach well, and he's willing to ride it out through a struggle rather than bench you at the first
turn, quick hook.
Yeah. Okay. For instance, with the defensive coordinator, with Mark Snyder, a lot of people wanted Mark Snyder gone after 2013, and
they were right.
He wrote it out because he believed in him, and I think that's part of what makes it attractive for coaches to coach at A&M and for players to play there. But on the same time, you gotta it's a fine line to walk in that scenario. So it's a fair question to raise.
Yeah, and we're really talking about degrees. I mean, if they had pulled him out two series earlier, then everyone's probably okay.
Right.
And that's one of those things where sometimes it's easier to see it when you're not in it.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I think
And how much of it was it not just Allen in that game? How much of it was receivers and offensive lineup playing well?
Yeah, I mean they couldn't run the ball either.
Nope. They couldn't get anything going. I mean, at 3 points, it ain't all just on him.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on from the quarterbacks. Let's take a break. And when we come back, I want to talk about LSU. What does this game mean for A&M? How do they win it? How does LSU win it? What does it mean for LSU?
Drama.
We'll talk about all that stuff when we come back. Hit us up 229-1939, and we will talk about it. It's Aggie Nation powered by the Eagle here on Sports Radio 1150 in the Zone FM 102.7.
For well over 10 years, Intercon has been telling consumers that vinyl windows are the best option for this climate. Now, there are a number of vendors offering a vinyl solution, but don't be misled. All vinyl windows are not the same. Changing in the windows in your home is a major investment that you only want to do once. Ask to see a sample window and use your common sense. Does the window look and feel solid and substantial? Look at how the window operates. Does it have a continuous balance system or a cheap setup with pulleys and strings? Ask about the U-factor and solar heat gain coefficient, which are standard energy performance metrics. Finally, ask about who will be installing the window and who will be standing behind the warranty. At Intercon, we use the Burris TechView line of windows made to our size specifications installed by Intercon full-time employees. We stand behind our products with industry-leading limited lifetime warranties. Trust your neighbors at Intercon with all of your window needs.
Whether you have new construction or an existing home, let the fine folks from Intercon help your home energy efficiency year-round. Call Brad Beard of Intercon today at 823-3639. That's 823-3639.
It's the best time of year to buy from the best farm and tractor retailer in the Brazos Valley, Norman G. Tractor. Get zero down payment, 0% financing, top dollar for your trade-in, and free delivery. Get the Kubota L2501F25 horsepower two-wheel drive tractor with a 5-foot Land Pride shredder and a 5-foot Land Pride box blade with teeth, and $2,250 in rebates for only $11,245 or $160 per month. Want your tractor to do even more? Well, try the Kubota L2501 HST 25 horsepower tractor with 4-wheel drive, Kubota front end loader, 5-foot Land Pride shredder, and box blade with teeth. Get $2,250 in rebates. Pay only $18,145 or $231 per month. Why buy used when you can buy new with payments as low as these? That's why Norman G. Tractor is known as the place to shop for all of your tractor, utility vehicle, and lawn equipment needs. Shop online at normangtractor.com, corner of Highway 39 and OSR in Norman G. And remember, nobody beats Norman G. Tractor. Nobody.
This is Pat Henry, the head track and field coach here at Texas A&M University. Our athletes and our coaching staff have been training hard and working hard to continue a tradition of excellence. We need the 12th man support all season long as we begin our journey towards another NCAA championship. Season tickets are now available. Order yours today by calling 888-99-AGGIE or visit 12thman.com. Thanks and giggle.
Hi, I'm Chip Howard. This Christmas, Blue Baker and The Zone are asking you to add a child you've never met to your Christmas list. Christmas angels are little paper angels with a child's name and Christmas gift wish. Choose a Christmas angel from the tree, set up inside both Blue Baker locations, 201 Dominick Drive in College Station and 800 University Drive, then shop for your angel, drop off the wrapped gifts at the tree, and we'll do the rest. The last day to drop off angel gifts is Friday, December 11th. Thank you for helping make a Merry Christmas for a Christmas angel.
Hello.
For more information on the Zone 102.7 and Sports Radio 1150, visit zone1150.com now.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
Can I kick it? Kick it.
Well, welcome back. We've got some bad news for anyone that was excited about next week's Monday Night Football game. It's the Ravens at the Browns. Johnny Manziel will not be playing.
What?
What happened?
I put it under prog picks just because Manziel was starting.
Yeah.
What happened?
Manziel has
been... I thought he was starting the rest of the season.
Demoted to third string, according to Adam Schefter.
Based on practice.
Wow. Based on. apparently, going out on your bye week is not kosher with the Browns.
Okay, so what happened again?
He got photographed at a bar in Austin. I don't get why that's a huge deal. It was their off week.
Well, because it's a huge deal because it's Johnny and because he went to rehab.
He went to rehab. That's why
it's a big deal.
Whatever. I don't think it's up to the Browns to decide.
Oh, yeah.
If you're his employer, it is.
Nah. Yeah, it is.
If you're cutting the checks.
Have you talked to Kelly recently about what you did over in Nashville? No.
If he gives you your best chance to win on Monday, shouldn't you be the starting quarterback?
Yeah, but he used up his benefit of the doubt already after a year and year plus on
Cleveland. You're giving a popular answer in Aggieland, but you do have an employer. And I guarantee you he told them I wouldn't go to a bar. How much you want to bet?
Well, that's the case, then
I'm just saying, that's my bet.
Yeah, well, I'm not saying it's not ridiculously stupid on his part. But at the same time, whatever.
So who are they playing next Monday night?
We don't care. The Ravens.
The Ravens.
They're awful, too.
They are the Browns.
Yeah, well, that's what someone tweeted. The starting quarterbacks in the game now figure to be Josh McCown and Matt Schaub because Flacco.
Oh, that's right. Schaub's starting.
Because Flacco is out. And what a battle for the ages.
The running back's out for Baltimore, too. Fosnett or what's his name?
I don't know.
Forsett. He got his arm broken. Aaron Donald broke through the middle of the line and, like, body slammed him in a tackle, and Forsett broke his arm. It was rough. Aaron Donald's a beast.
Who cares? It's about the NFL.
What about TJ Yates, man?
You got a Cleveland crap. That's almost like Cleveland Browns color almost.
Well, it's dark black. Okay. This is a black shirt.
It's not even close to Cleveland colors. Come on, man. That's closer to Steelers colors than it is Brown.
Yes, yeah, probably, exactly. Yeah, my Pittsburgh Steelers honorary Adidas shirt.
Maybe the Browns can pick up Ryan Mallett.
He's out there.
He's out there.
Someone needs to
just make sure you get him on the plane.
That's right.
It'd be funny, though, if their whole thing with Manziel was going out to bars and they picked up Ryan Mallett.
That's true.
But anyway. All right. Y'all can hit us up. 229-1939. Someone said that the coaches wanted Murray to think he won the job. Seems a bit Machiavellian to me. That's from Herb and Brian. Now, it's not necessarily – I probably worded that wrong. It's not that they wanted him to think he'd won the job necessarily, because he's going to know if Allen is hurt also. But that I think they wanted him to think, and again, this isn't just lip service. It probably really was the case, but wanted him to think that, hey, this is your job now. This isn't just your job until Allen's healthy again. This is your job, and go out there and show us what you've got.
They did that last year with Hill, the same thing.
Yeah,
when Hill gets suspended, suddenly Allen wins the job. Hello?
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. You know, I'm not saying it's all one big giant conspiracy to hold the man down and keep the public ill-informed or whatever. I just think they wanted Murray to go out there and play like it was his job, and so they made it his job. Go out there and see what you've got. And now that Allen's back, the simple truth is we can say everything and all the conspiracies and he was hurt and they don't want people to know and all this kind of stuff. The simple truth is when they're both healthy, Allen's the better quarterback right now.
Yep.
And he gives A&M a better chance to win any particular game.
Right. At this moment in time, with the offense constructed as it is and the personnel around it as it is, that is absolutely the case.
We got a couple minutes before the big break. When we come back, we'll talk more about this game and LSU and the X's and O's and the matchups. But, you know, we got to talk about Chavis for a minute. How vindicated does he probably feel this week, knowing, and he's not going to admit it, and he didn't admit it today, but the whole situation with Les Miles' long-term deal at LSU was why he left a year ago.
Yes.
I truly believe that that's why he is at Texas A&M. And now he feels vindicated, has to, by that move, because it looks like, despite another pretty good year, Les Miles is going to get fired.
Well, I'm sure he feels bad, too, because a lot of those guys he built relationships with, he knows well, he knows their
Miles.
Families, including Les. I'm sure he feels bad for them because, you know, they're going through this. But it became a battle between him and Joe Oliva, was that Chavis did not want his contract tied to Les Miles' fate. Because, again, I think he was prescient. He saw the writing on the wall, and that it was essentially if Les Miles was no longer the coach, the Chavis contract was void 60 days after that date. And he wanted his contract guaranteed beyond that. And you know what? He's entitled to that. He's entitled to that desire as a defensive coordinator established as long as he is. And when they said no, and Oliva said no, and he said, well, I'm going to go look around. And next thing you know, he ends up at Texas A&M. Now, it does. He got out like a bandit because he got a big payday. Mm-hmm. He's at a new place with a different trajectory. Well, maybe not. But I guess right now it is because LSU's lost three in a row and A&M's won 3 of 4. But he seems to be happy here. And, you know, LSU's a mess. And I can't believe that we're sitting here talking about a coach who's won 77% of his games being bought out for $15 million by the boosters so they can go hire another coach. And here's the thing. If you don't go get Jimbo Fisher, which is clearly the number one target, who are you going to get? If he says no, then where do you go?
If you don't get Jimbo Fisher, then you're not taking a step forward.
Nope.
I don't know that you're taking a step forward with Jimbo Fisher, frankly. I think he's a really good coach, but I don't think that Florida State's had to do all that much to win in the ACC.
Mm-hmm.
They did have a really good team the year they won the national title, but I don't know that this is. If that team is in the SEC West, is that an undefeated team?
And you know what? That's my question is, if you're Jimbo, do you want to go into the same division with Alabama when you can control the ACC every other year?
Because Florida State's not a very good football team this year. I think if they were in the SEC West this year, they're no better than, in my opinion,
State.
Having watched them play A&M, Mississippi State, Arkansas, that group
they
of teams.
They have no quarterback play almost.
Yeah, well, and they're...
Hello?
Yeah, and they're not that good of a football team, and yet they're, what do they have, two losses?
Yeah.
I mean, they're right up there now, because of their conference.
Back to Chavis, boy, he played it pretty cool today, but you know the fire's going to be stoked when he walks into Tiger Stadium on Saturday.
We all know that.
Armani Watts said earlier today, he said, we know. He goes, it's assumed. He goes, he hasn't said anything. He doesn't need to say anything. He said, we know it means a lot to him.
Well, it means a lot to him. It means a lot to this defense. And frankly, it should mean a lot to everyone on A&M's team, because if you want a rivalry with LSU, which is what it looks like everybody wants, you've got to beat them, right? And they've now beaten A&M 3 times since they joined the league, and the time before that in the Cotton Bowl, they got absolutely smoked by them. So win a game. Then we can start talking rivalry.
I assume that this week we're going to see the best game plan defensively that we've seen from John Chavis all season.
What, tackle Fournette? I think I can set up that game plan. All right, we're going to go to the big break. Hit us up, 229-1939. When we come back, I want to know, what do y'all think? What does A&M